All this week on The Wire, we've been bringing you stories from the stage, performance artists who take on the issues of our time. The Archive of Educated Hearts focuses on the impact breast cancer can have on families and their loved ones. The intimate show takes place in an archive, a small room set up like a living room filled with keepsakes, photos, and other treasures of the four women interviewed for the show. The show's writer, Casey J. Andrews, spoke with Catherine Andrews about her show.
I wanted to write a show about breast cancer and the impact that has on our relationships, families, particularly the mother-daughter relationship.
I had my daughter in 2004 and I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2006, so she was 18 months old when I was first diagnosed.
The main themes of the show are kindness, how to help people when you don't quite know how to be there, living without regrets, how incredible people are and how amazing people are in the face of difficult circumstances. I think it's amazing how human beings have this ability to rise from the ashes of a devastating situation, even when the world and life throws terrible circumstances at you.
So we were having fertility treatment and that's when the first breast cancer reared its ugly head, really.
Breast cancer has affected your auntie and your nan. How difficult has it been to share their stories while creating the show?
It's been very difficult because when I was writing the show, my auntie Karen, she actually found out that her breast cancer had progressed for the first time in years. So that came as a real shock and surprise. I'd wanted to write the show for ages because it's been something that's just been present in my life for a long time. And it's been something that my family have always been very close to, and I just did not anticipate that when I was writing it, it would kind of rear its head and be at the forefront of our minds again. And likewise, the two other women I interviewed, Oriel Wells is my old singing teacher, and Emma Carnes is my old drama teacher for high school. Actually, Emma died 2 weeks before the very first performance, which again, with breast cancer, with these diagnoses, if you've got a life-limiting diagnosis, you know that that is going to be the eventual result. But as someone who's very close to lots of women who have breast cancer, you kind of forget. You kind of choose to ignore the fact that you know that that's the way it's going to go. And then when it does happen, you're reminded that that was always going to be the result. And it's no less unsettling to confront.
What impact did this have on telling her story for the show?
I felt this huge responsibility to tell her story right and well and as she would have wanted it to be told. She was trying to work out how, after she had that diagnosis, how to stop just waiting to die and to live her life. And so what she did, her and her daughter Molly travelled the world together. At the time Molly was 11 years old. They went all over. They went to Borneo, they went to Cambodia, all over the world, living this amazing life, creating all of these tangible memories. Because if you're an 11-year-old, then those years, that time with your mum, that's so important. That's going to have an impact on the rest of your life. And Emma's campaigning was to show how vital that time is and how vital it is that people in her position still had access to treatment and they weren't just then left because, you know, we can't save your life. Well, no, maybe you're not saving someone's life, but what you're giving to that mother and daughter is invaluable.
For as long as I can remember, I have harboured an inarticulate heart, a wildly active mind, a mind that careers fitfully through ideas and plans and friends, but a heart that cannot speak or be spoken to. My inarticulate heart, my hidden heart, unsettles me. It's unsettling to be faced with the mortality of somebody that you love and not quite be able to put into words the fear or the love or anything at all worth mentioning.
Do you think people are understanding enough or kind enough when responding to one of their friends or family members who've just been diagnosed with cancer?
I think everyone wants to be. I think sometimes people just don't know how to respond. I have a friend who's got this lovely dog, a lovely golden retriever. And he said, I'll get approached by strangers all the time who want to say hello to, like, stroke the dog, fine, at the dog park, great. And then they'll just tell you a story about how their last dog died. I said, that's not comforting at all. Why are you telling me this? I think it's the same with cancer. I think that you mention it and it's a really well-meaning response. It's like, oh, I want to, okay, how can I connect with you? I'm not saying sharing stories isn't helpful because this show, all it is sharing other people's stories. And I think the reason that that is important it's because they're trying to share it in empathy, you know, they're trying to open up their own heart and share their own pain to just say, look, I understand what you're going through. And that is helpful.
Worked in a chemist for 54 years for Boots, and we got so many stories, believe you me, and you take their troubles and you listen to them and you make it that little bit better. Not giving them advice, but just being there. Just be there and listen. Yeah. Just be there and listen, that's all. Can't say no more than that, Case.